tell Al all of the details, but we understand if Al can't join us,
I kind of feel like we are 20 minutes from where we can meet Al.
So you're wanting to bring Al in. I'm giving him an out.
And the golf course to the hotel's 19 miles.
Yeah, but we'll just go from the golf course to meet Al and then go to the hotel.
Yeah, but then I'm telling you, all right, we'll do something that Al could get to, but if it goes too late, see what I'm doing here,
perfect.
Al?
This is really nice.
If it goes too late, it's okay if he doesn't show up.
What's too late, Al?
I'll have to play it by ear. Let's see what time it is, how far it is.
I would think somewhere in Wall would be a good halfway.
Okay.
There you go.
The reason I'm saying this is because if we're all there and one person is missing, he doesn't generally like that. But I am making sure that we are all on the same page, that we are officially giving Al an out if it gets too late. Yes?
Sounds like it.
Doesn't sound like it to him. He is not co-signing on this. He is making sure you're at this dinner. That's what it sounds like.
10 best restaurants in Wall. I'm looking at TripAdvisors. Harpoon Willie's, have you been there?
I've not, but I'm aware of it.
Looks like a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I like Harpoon Willie's.
All right, how about Shogun Legends?
That's like kibachi.
Kibachi? You know, like kibachi?
Kibachi. I don't think that's our thing.
You got the Cole House?
Mm.
What's Me Mom's?
Breakfast.
Okay. Roadside, nah. What's it with the hibachi involved?
We're big hibachi fans down there.
All right,
so we'll figure something out. We do have to take a break here.
But you said, though, that you like Harpoon Willie's.
I've not been, but I hear nice things.
Looks like a nice fireplace in there.
It looks like a pub type of deal, you know?
Yeah, it looks like they got some nice food.
All right, so
maybe Harpoon Willie's. I don't want to get everybody all excited, but maybe we'll do that.
Okay. All right, sounds good. I'm glad. Have we tied up the loose ends?
Yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay.
We've got our shoe on. Lace is still undone.
Okay.
Yes. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game 5 tonight up in Boston. Knicks look to move on just like the Indiana Pacers did so they could face them in the Eastern Conference Finals. Baseball is going to be heating up over the weekend. The Knicks certainly are going to be a topic throughout, but we get our first Subway Series with the Juan Soto Mets-Yankees rivalry thing. Which has been hotter than it's been in 25 years because of that signing. That's going to happen over the weekend. And we get the full schedule release tonight.
Yeah, and it looks like I saw where Adam Schefter posted yesterday that the Cincinnati Bengals will be traveling the least amount of miles.
I saw this.
Of any team in the, I think they travel a total of, what, 10,000 miles?
I'm going to call it up right now. And, I mean, and that stuff, I feel like it matters, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, they don't have to go overseas. I can't believe they're not going overseas. With Joe Burrow as their quarterback and the Bengal logos and I mean, they are a hot team coming into the league. I mean, into the season. I think many people question whether or not their defense under Al Golden now, as the defense coordinator, is going to be good enough to get them to where they need to go. But the offense is going to needs to be humming right out of the gate this year. They can't get off to yet another slow start. It's kind of like watching the Knicks.
Yeah, there are four really good teams on paper going into this year that are not traveling very far at all. The Detroit Lions, 11,000 miles. The Baltimore Ravens, 10,000 miles. The Buffalo Bills, 10,000 miles. And the Cincinnati Bengals, 8,753.
Right, so none of those teams are in any of these international games.
I mean, which is wild. So you think about the L.A. Chargers are traveling almost 30,000 more miles next year than the Cincinnati Bengals. I know it's modern-day air travel, and these guys are on charters and everything else, but still,
it's a pain in the ass. I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, I can't believe they haven't announced that the Chiefs are playing the Chargers down in Brazil. But
they kind of have, right? Everybody knows that.
It's the only one that we haven't heard about yet. I mean, you get the Vikings, Steelers in Ireland, and then the Vikings and the Browns in London next week.
Right. So the Jets and Giants, if you're wondering with the mileage stuff, they're right in the middle of the pack. Jets at 17,000, the Giants at 16,000. So the most is 37,000, the least is 8,000. So they're right in the middle there. So nothing really all that surprising.
I mean, they got the Eagles playing a ton of prime time games. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I know that CBS this morning's announcing a couple of games today. I thought that we'd get a game to announce this morning, but I guess that's not happening. It was either CBS was going to reach out to us to give us a game to announce ourselves, or the man of knowledge, I thought, maybe would slide us a game. Like, we're not even asking for a big game. Like, give us like a week 13 Jets Dolphins game.
We know that the Jets are playing both the Patriots and the Dolphins twice.
Yeah.
And the Buffalo Bills twice.
So, like, we're just something we can break.
Yeah.
Like, how about that? Anything. You know, I'm going to text somebody. I'll text somebody.
You know what? You have all these international games being played. I don't know why the NFL doesn't go and play in certain American cities that are football fans, but yet don't have a professional football team.
I've been saying that since this international thing started, that I would much rather see that than them go overseas. I understand it's about the scrajol and building the brand and everything else, but, you know, America.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great for some of these cities. America.
So, like, you could play a game up in Oregon.
Sure.
If you wanted to.
Nebraska.
North Dakota.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, you have to have a certain field that's got to be...
Yeah.
It's all got to be all buttoned up, and those cities have got to pay for it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think
that's the only way the NFL comes into your city is if, you know, they're collecting.
CBS Sports, Stephen Waldron of CBS Sports. Stephen, did you get a heads up on the games that are being announced this morning?
No, Coach Power is on CBS Morning too.
What's that?
Coach Cower is on CBS Morning.
Oh, Coach Cower is on CBS this morning. Soon. What time is that so we know?
I don't know. They just teased it, so.
Just tease. All right. So is there an embargo on this game? You have no inside knowledge of this?
No, I texted Tony, but he still is not answering us.
Okay. Still not answering you. What, from last week?
Yeah.
By the way, how's the setup going to look down on the Jersey Shore next week?
It's going to be looking good. Hopefully we get good weather. We were down there on Monday checking it out, your guys. Fingers crossed.
All right.
All right, very good. Well, it looks great every year. You guys bringing the jib?
Of course we're having the jib.
Okay. Just making sure.
Just make sure Sean Kennedy in good shape, ready to roll?
Yeah, I told him not to stiff you on the handshake again. So.
All right.
All right, very good, Stephen. Stephen sounds like a beaten man after the whole CBS News thing last week. It's unfortunate, but...
Yeah, he's all right. He'll be all right. Hey, Janet and Brick. Janet, what's happening?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
So, my husband's going to die when he hears me on the radio, but... So, I used to work at Matitoconk. You guys are going to have a great day there. But I have a suggestion for you.
Okay.
So, they have three cottages that you can rent, and I think they're like 8 bedrooms, so plenty of space. They have a potting green, and you get chefs and a waitress to serve you dinner and drinks, and then you can sleep there. You don't need a hotel, and it just solves all the logistical issues for you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I don't think that we would stay there because it would be a far drive the next morning for us to get to where we need to be. It's a much closer drive in the hotel that we have, but that's great. As far as the dinner, though, I mean, that sounds awesome. I don't have to go anywhere.
It does, yeah. Well, I mean, this place is like a great place, so...
The course is like top notch. You guys are going to love the golf course for sure.
Yeah, I'm not taking these guys anywhere that's not top notch. I can just tell you that. I'm okay, all about being top notch.
Do not go to Harpoon Willie's. It's not a Boomer Esiason place. It's a great local place, but I don't think it's where you want to go. I don't think it's what you're looking for. If the butcher block is.
Yeah, but I didn't suggest the butcher block, just so everybody understands that. And I am usually a regular type of guy. I like going to places like the Portly Villager.
Sure.
You know, I like the local flavor of a place. You know what I mean, Janet? I mean, Matitoconk's my type of place. There's no question about it. Yes.
So, Janet, is it possible to sneak in a hippie who tucks his T-shirts into his pants into... the dinner at the club? Is it possible to, because he's not going to be playing golf, but if he just showed up and knocked on the door and we dressed him properly, is could Eddie Scazzeri sit down with us at the club?
Yeah, so of course. So the cottages, though, are completely private. So no other members are going to be there. But basically, to eat dinner in the club, you just have to not wear a hat and, you know, dress appropriately, not in sweatpants and looking like my teenage kids. Basically.
Okay, well, Eddie can certainly do that. So maybe that's what we do, Boomer, huh? We eat there, and then we have Eddie meet us there.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, let's be honest. Whatever time you say you're going to have dinner, Al's going to say it's too late.
Yeah, of course. That's the way Al is. He's just a whiner and a complainer.
Yeah, so just don't include him in this dinner. And I might be the same as Al, but so just don't include him in the dinner. It's fine. But yeah, this is a solution if you all want to have dinner because it is Eddie's, you know, final hurrah here. So
no, that's next year.
Well, Eddie, yeah. Eddie,
oh, thank God.
Right, yeah, he's got one more year, so we'll go to Harpoon Willie's for his final hurrah next year. All right, Janet, that's awesome. We appreciate the information, and we are seriously considering that. The other thing about eating at the club, though, is then you're asking your host to pick up your entire dinner, which is kind of, that's not an assumption you want to make, but that's all. You know what I'm saying? Because the member, that's just the way that things work.
And could I drive a Honda Fit onto the grounds without the Gatling gun coming up from the ground? And
this is not that type of place. I mean, this place is it's top notch. It's first class. I can't wait to play the golf course, and they do it right there. And you would just have to be, you just have to be respectful to all the rules. No matter what golf course you go to play to, if it's a private course, you got to be respectful of the rules. That's all.
That sounds great to me. We just hang out there as long as possible and go right to the hotel. What do you think?
Well, again, are we paying for dinner?
Well, that's the thing.
So that's, you got to.
I know. I brought it up. That's true. I brought it up.
And by the way, I know that my buddy would love to be, host us and the whole thing.
Yeah. But you can't just assume that and invite yourself and do those things. You can't do that.
No.
It's not proper. But now,
and we're not, because we discuss this stuff in the open like this. It puts pressure on everybody in our lives.
Oh, really?
It's incredible.
I never thought about that. How it puts pressure on people to get things done. Huh. I should use that in the future.
Yes, I know.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got more sports for us. What's happening, Jerry?
All right, well, you guys are basking in the glow of a Knick run here, and rightly so, as they're up 3-1 with Game 5 in Boston tonight. Jason Tatum did have surgery yesterday for the ruptured Achilles, so he is done. You guys are enjoying it, of course. Some are not, like Evan Roberts, who is definitely struggling with the Knicks' success and the Nets' failures as he is heading up to Boston. He had this message for the fans, the listeners, and for Tommy Lugauer.
I'm dead. And what more do you want from me? I'm on the side of the road. I've been run over 5 times. I think you guys can win the NBA title. Like, I'm dead.
There you go. He's had enough.
Yeah, I mean,
it finally got to him.
I can definitely understand it. But then again, he's going up to Boston with Lugauer, so he's like kind of buying into the whole thing. But yeah, it's tough for a guy like him. There's no doubt about it. I mean, when the shoe was on the other foot and it looked like the Brooklyn Nets were going to somehow figure out a way to win a championship with those guys, and the Knicks were down, and Kevin Durant didn't want to play for the Knicks and all that stuff. I felt that at the time, and now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's when they didn't get Zion.
Yes.
So, now shoes on the other foot for the little fella. It's all right. You'll be okay. Huh? You got a family, I think. Your in-laws live with you. Everything will be fine.
It's not fine.
Yeah.
Well, not if you're him.
Yeah. I mean, watching the Knicks do this, have a shot at making the NBA Finals, a team and a fan base that he hates, and then having the NBA draft lottery where the Nets could have gotten the number one overall pick and a guy in Cooper Flagg who would have changed their organization and get the 8th pick. Yeah, it's tough.
And I just want to cry.
Yeah,
I just want to shrivel up in the fetal position and freaking cry from this.
Not even the one. It's that you didn't get a top 4. Because that was the one thing watching that thing. They were showing like there's 5 big guys in this draft.
Yeah.
You didn't even get top 5.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're going to get Giannis.
Derek Queen could be there.
Yeah, Derek Queen from Maryland. Good player.
Could be there.
Young kid needs to grow up a little bit and get a little bit stronger, but I think he would be a good pick for the Nets. But, you know, maybe he'll get Giannis and give up all those assets we gave you to get Mikal Bridges.
We shall see. Now, last night, you did have the Pacers move into the conference finals for a second year in a row. They were in Cleveland again, and, well, they disposed of the Cavaliers.
Nembhard one-on-one on top with Garland. He does go after him. He got into the lane and banked it in.
Go.
As he is fouled, he then turns to his bench and headbutts teammates as he goes to the line looking for a three-point play.
Yeah, they were feeling themselves last night as they went in Cleveland again. Wrap up the series in five. Pacers radio with the call. 114-105, the final. Nembhard at 18. Tyrese Halliburton, 31. And Pascal Siakam at 21 points, 8 rebounds. Siakam wants to go further than they did last postseason.
We were just here last year, so I think for us, it's just that focus got to shift. Like, we got to be wanting more, and to me, that's what I'm going to continue to preach to the guys.
And likely with another matchup with the Knicks, if the Knicks take care of business tonight or in the next couple of games. Here is Donovan Mitchell, 31 in the loss, but didn't shoot it well. He says, yeah, it's hard to lose all three games at home in this series.
I love playing in that arena, man, like, that energy, that crowd. We're 0-3 at home. You know, let the city down, man. This place is special. This place is really special. And we can get it done.
It's not that special. It's Cleveland. Come on, Donovan. I know that you're trying to be nice here. It's Cleveland. I mean, and they were special when LeBron was there because LeBron was there. And you thought you had something special. You didn't. You're out in the second round. Don't try to tell me that arena is special. Stop.
64-18 and outs.
Amazing. You know, yep. Injuries. And they tried to play. Most of those guys gave it their best go. But, man, Indiana 2 years in a row has gotten really, really, I don't say lucky, but they're fortunate that the other teams that they have played, with the exception of the Celtics last year, these teams have all been injured and significantly injured.
Speaking of the injuries, and you know what? I should have grabbed it at the time when I saw it, because I think people have killed Tibbs forever about playing his guys too many minutes. And it was a doctor, again, who knows what what he was saying was, the reason why the Knicks this year are
out there
excelling right now and healthy and they're fine with all these minutes is because of the minutes they've logged and their bodies are used to it, whereas some of these guys are starting to play more minutes than they normally would, he wasn't blaming the Tatum injury on it specifically, but it's easy to see how all of a sudden it's overuse when you're not used to it.
Well, just so you know, Jason Tatum, since 2017, the year he was drafted, has played more minutes and more games than any player in the NBA.
Even this season on an average basis, meaning he's playing more right now in the postseason than he was on an average basis in the regular season. Now we're getting into the weeds. But.
Yeah, all I can tell you is that since he came into the league, he's played more minutes and more games than anybody else. And this is just one of those freak injuries like most of these Achilles injuries are. Like, they don't even really happen. I'm like, this one, he's stretching for the ball and it's like a quick movement and all of a sudden that thing pops.
Yeah,
who knows why.
And you remember last year the Knicks in the postseason also did have good fourth quarters, and this was brought up where these other teams are not as conditioned in the fourth quarter as the Knicks are. But then that narrative went away when all the Knicks got hurt.
Understood. And injuries do happen, and I get that. But we're not talking about all the minutes right now.
Speaking about injuries, looks like Sam Hauser is going to play tonight for the Celtics.
I told you.
Here we go. Buckle up, boys.
50 for Hauser. Puts the team on his back.
Hauser is not going for 50 tonight.
Wins three straight.
That's not happening.
I mean, the way Boomer's been talking about him, this is a dangerous, dangerous man. I mean, it's almost like getting Jordan back and like when Jordan came back from baseball.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
It's almost like that, where like the whole league is now shuddering.
I had a driver who took me down that yesterday, that whole thing about Michael Jordan leaving, coming back, and winning championships.
Yeah.
And it's the depth issue that the Knicks would have had against Boston had they not lost the guy early on.
All right, so they're getting a guy back, but they just lost their best player.
I know that, but what I'm saying, it goes to the depth portion of the team and how important that second group is for the Boston
Everybody
Celtics.
Knows Hauser's the most talented guy in that roster. Everybody knows that, Jerry, so stop fighting it.
Well, the point being is that they'll get him back. They'll install Kristaps Porzingis as a starter, and now they'll have another guy to be able to at least lean on. you know, maybe 20 minutes, assuming his ankle is good enough to go that long.
And by the way, speaking of Michael Jordan, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but he's going to be a special contributor on NBC with basketball. It's like, why is he doing this now? It doesn't make any sense.
Because NBC is going retro.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, why is he? I know why NBC
the
would ask.
And John Pesh. And
I know why they would ask.
And
he's bored.
I know why.
He's got nothing to do.
He lives the greatest life. He's got the Grove down there with these drones dropping off drinks.
Yeah, that's where he is. Spends most of his time.
Right. He's sitting there gambling on golf. He's doing what every man would love to do.
Then what's the answer?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
To remain relevant. That's why.
He'll be relevant till the day he dies and then many
days
after.
It's like Tom Brady. Why is he doing what he's doing?
Well, he's sick in the head. He's just like he's just out of football. He needs to do something. Like, Jordan's been out of basketball forever, and he goes deep sea fishing. He loves that on the big boats and the Gulf. He plays golf at the Grove. He built his own golf course. It's got amazing amenities in it. He's been doing this for a long time. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, I want to do. So he better come in with some like real, like opinions and things, and not just be Michael Jordan. And
right, you don't want him to be Gretzky or Montana.
Right, like let's go, let's slam some dudes, let's crush him.
I don't know that that's him though.
Let's do some back in my day. This crap wouldn't happen.
Well, he was an owner of an NBA team, so he, you know, obviously had seen players up close and personal as to whether or not they're any good or not. He knows.
It was a weird hire.
But will he say it?
I mean, will somebody ask him a question? Who's the guy that most resembles the way that you used to play?
They'll say Anthony Edwards, who is actually my son. That's what I was going to say. Those two guys look a lot alike.
I mean, it is scary.
Yeah, I mean, and facially, I'm saying. I mean,
the way he plays, the way he bounces the basketball, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thunder beat the Nuggets 112-105. They're up 3-2. T-Wolves Warriors game 5 tonight. We get to the Yankees, and we start with the Thrivewell player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. It is Max Fried. They did lose to the Mariners 2-1-11. Fried, though, in this game, not his best, but 5 innings, just 1 run on 4 hits. Here was Fried on his start.
They put together some really good at-bats, and drew my pitch count up, especially after a really quick first. I think it was... Yeah,
that's boring, but you get the point.
Yesterday, Dave Sims and I had a phone call together after I blasted him, which was the headlines all across the internet. So he must have seen one of those blasted headlines, so he decided to call me.
Yeah, which I was thinking was going to happen. Dave's one of those guys who puts in a phone call, you know, one of those, let me see what's going on with Boomer here. I'll reach out.
So I called him. I said, hey, Dave, how's vacation going? we had a good call, and he actually has some sort of TV show he's working on himself.
TV show?
Yeah, it's like On the Way to the Game, I think he called it, and asked me if I would be a guest on the way to the game.
On the way to the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a TV show or something is going to be on YouTube?
Well, it's probably YouTube. Right. Yeah, that kind of thing. Probably be on
YouTube. So you said yes to that?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I don't know.
I told him yesterday. I said, look, Dave, I don't have a problem with you. I mean, just wondering why you took off 40 days into this season. That's all.
Did he have an answer?
Yeah, and it was satisfactory.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was. I mean, and you know, he basically said that Olivero knew all about this before they even signed the contract and everything else. So, yes.
Okay.
That seems fair.
I'm following you on social media and all the beautiful pictures you're taking. Looks like you're having a good time.
So, I guess he's not going to miss any other games.
I don't know that for a fact.
I'm just kidding. Anyhow, Fried,
one more thing. Sorry, Jerry. Yeah. Just on the way to the game thing. Does that mean you have to go to the game with him?
No, he was telling me it's like a 20 to 30 minute vignette, and I'm not really sure exactly how they're doing it. I think maybe it will be in a, I don't know if it's in a cab or if it's in, I don't know.
So you have to physically go to the Bronx?
No, I don't think, I think it's like halfway there.
Are you going to drop you off on the?
I told myself, let's do it on the subway.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Maybe somebody taking a pee in the back.
All right. Fried was our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. Yankees and Mariners one more time today. Will Warren, Luis Castillo, the pitchers on the fan at 3:30, first pitch 4:10. As for the Mets, they wound up beating the Pirates. Another big swing of the bat for Brett Beatty.
Fly ball, left field, well hit, Canario back near the wall. They did not. Yeah, they do call it a home run. Beatty stopped at second base. The third base umpire, Lance Barron, finally signaled home run.
And that's, you know, I'm glad it happened for the Mets. I think the ball should have to go out of the yard.
Well, then you got to stop building parks that are too big, and then you bring the fences in.
Yeah, I know that, but I hate the whole line thing on the wall.
Oh, in center field with the batter's eye?
I hate that kind of stuff.
Understood. Well, this was a home run.
Get it over the fence.
Gary Cohen on SNY with the call. 2-1 was the final. Brandon Nimmo, RBI double in the first. And Kodai Senga pretty good through 5 2/3. Here was Carlos Mendoza, though, on Beatty. Couple of home runs the other night. Big one in this game. Where's this Beatty resurgence coming from?
Confidence. Guy that knows he belongs in the big leagues. And just having fun. You know, he's preparing, he's going out there, keeping it simple, getting good pitches to hit, and just not overthinking it.
And so the Mets 28-15. You also have what is being referred to by some on social media about a poop clock issue.
Poop clock.
And that was when Pete Alonso wasn't on the field to start the sixth.
I would imagine that Alonso was indisposed. His glove was waiting for him near first base, and he came sprinting out of the dugout as Senga was getting his sign from Alvarez.
I think sometimes you have to have discretion. I mean, you know, someone might have to use the restroom or something. I mean, come on.
Not sure if that's what it
was. Maybe he was looking for his glove.
Well, his glove was on the field.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he was looking for his glove. I don't know.
I don't know, but he
how do you say
there
was no infield warm-up?
No, there was. He just was late to it.
Right, but no. So Alonso was not usually he'd be the one, I guess, that would do his thing.
Yeah, right.
He was probably in the bathroom or something and then had to sprint out right as Senga wanted to pitch. And because Senga couldn't pitch because he wasn't there, there was a pitch clock violation and a ball was automatically issued after the umpires conferred about it for 2 minutes.
Poop clock.
And so there's a bunch of people on
social Senga
media.
Was pissed about that.
Gary was good about that. He was like, you know, here we are. We have the pitch clock to speed up the game, and now we're going to slow down the game. So
significantly.
Yes.
Senga's just standing around waiting. Make a decision. Let's go. So that was kind of funny. You got the NFL schedule release coming up later tonight. Next hour, I will have for you a couple more Bill Belichick on ESPN. Interesting back and forth with Angel Reese yesterday. And the Stars beat the Jets 3-1 to go up 3-1 in their series.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
You know, G, I just wanted to take a minute and I want to send out my heartfelt condolences to Katie Monty's family. Katie, as you know, is a woman who had a double lung transplant twice, and she suffered from cystic fibrosis. And she passed away this week at the age of 41, and she was a beacon of light, superwoman, as she has been described by many in her life. Her mom, Pat, did a great job raising her and her four sisters. And, you know, it's just another reminder that cystic fibrosis, we haven't finished the battle against it. And this one really, really stings because she's been a part of our foundation. She is a beautiful woman. She leaves behind her husband, Joey, her daughter, Riley. And she'll be laid to rest out in Kings Park, Long Island. So she's been a part of my life over the last, 10 years or so. And I just want to send out my condolences to the entire family and let them know that we're going to continue to fight in Katie's honor. And as I tell most cystic fibrosis families who end up losing a loved one, that their memory will never be forgotten, especially within our foundation, because she was a big supporter of our mission.
And one of the most prestigious awards that the Boomer Esiason Foundation gives is the Michael Brennan Courage Award. Shows people who are fighting and inspiring so many people. And I know she was a recipient of that. That's how I learned about her story through that. And then when you sit there and you see the people that are receiving those awards, you feel like they've been through it and it's all positive from there. So as you mentioned, you know, it's a reminder that there's just so much that goes on that you don't see, and there's great stories. There's so many great stories.
Yes, and she's one of them. And and unfortunately, she passes away. And the fact that she became a mom, the fact that she married Joey, and they had their later part in life together, which is really something that I don't even think she thought that would be possible when she was born with the disease of cystic fibrosis. So the fact that she was a survivor of a double lung transplant, and she was also, I think, a donor of a kidney.
Oh, wow.
Donated one of her kidneys. And I just am in awe sometimes of some of what these people have accomplished and how they live their life and how they live it for the betterment of others, because she certainly was an inspiration to others, much like Jerry Cahill is, much like Marge Carfora is, and never take any of that stuff for granted. But we lost a great one in Katie Monty. So I just want to send out my, like I said, heartfelt condolences to her family and remind them that she will never be forgotten as far as BEF and me are concerned.
No, of course not. And, yeah, you told me that before the show this morning. It was shocking, like I said, because you feel like, you know, you meet Mikey Caruso Davis, you meet Marge Carfora. There's so many people have these amazing stories that win that award, and then you're just thinking about them going on with their lives and because of all the advances that have happened. So when you lose somebody like that who you got to know throughout the years through the foundation, it's definitely shocking. So there's no way to transition into that easily. But we were certainly talking about the schedule release tonight with the NFL, and CBS did announce their game. Coach Coward did announce their game a little while ago on CBS this morning. So it'll be the Chiefs going to Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a huge win for look, it's going to get a huge rating anyway.
Yeah.
But you got, assuming that Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, Dak Prescott stays healthy, you have two of the marquee teams in the NFL for CBS. The second half of the doubleheader. So that's a great thing for CBS, and I'm sure that Drew and the fellas are over there pretty happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice to be able to have Jim Nance and Tony Romo down in Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Well, and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, sometimes that game is not a great matchup. This is, as you say, if everybody's healthy, this should be a great matchup, and the Cowboys should be at least good enough in November to give the Chiefs a little run at it. So, yeah, so there you go. Some more schedule stuff. Still haven't heard a ton about the Jets or Giants. We do know that the Jets have the London game. They are going out there once again. As far as the Giants are concerned, I don't think I've heard a thing about them. Have we heard a single game that the Giants are playing?
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I mean, and their schedule is...
That's usually a good thing. Sometimes, you know, the NFL expects certain things to happen in the league, and it doesn't happen, like the Aaron Rodgers stuff with the Jets.
Sure.
They were all in for the Jets, mm-hmm. prime time and everything else, and unfortunately it didn't work out for everybody. So now if the Giants and the Jets are under the radar, I should say, you know, maybe they shock the world. There's always three or four teams that come from out of nowhere to end up winning their divisions.
Yes, that is correct, and I am happy that just for our schedule that we're probably not going to have a ton of primetime games this year between the two teams because it's just easier to consume than staying up till God knows what hour watching those two teams play football. So at least for this year, we're going to get a lot of 1 o'clock games, a lot of 1 o'clock Giant games going up against each other. So a little
How do you feel about having your team back-to-back at 9:30 in the morning? From Ireland and then London.
It's hard to even really imagine it.
That's a long football day.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it'll be interesting because...
Are you playing golf those days out at West Sable? That's usually a Sunday morning gig for you.
It is. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's true. I don't know what time we'll be teeing off at that point. It's 2 hours, nine holes, 2 hours, sometimes an hour and 45 minutes we fly, so... I'll have to make that determination.
That's September and October. You know, October is like the great month around here now.
It is a great month. It certainly is. And that Vikings-Steelers game on the 28th, that is Ryder Cup weekend as well. So I'm sure I'll be locked into that at the same time. But I'll be watching that with Gina. We don't always get Vikings-Steelers, so it's a little household divided that particular day.
Yeah, Sabrina's going for the Vikings, right?
She is, yeah. We tried to raise her a Steelers fan, but she decided... to go with the Minnesota Vikings. She wanted to side with me on at least one thing in our lives.
How about summer?
You know what? Not interested yet. Just not into it at all. So we'll see maybe this year, but she's more concerned about what she's doing, not what daddy's watching, you know, that type of thing. She likes Halloween. That's what summer likes. That's the thing that she enjoys. She loves Halloween. Outside of that, I'm not sure. Still very, very young making those decisions.